You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 91 on your FM stereo dial. We are the first station of the 90s.
It's the Funny Five with Dan Rubin!
Hello, Mother. Hello, Father.
Grandma got run over by a rain.
Ronald Reagan drops the bomb, and that's the end of the human race.
You can save the human race by getting your weekly dose every Sunday night at 11:30 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
For the next 2 weeks on Music for Modern Ears, you can hear percussion music. That's July 13th and July 20th at 10 a.m., including the music of David Olin.
All right, what the hell is that doing here? Throw that thing out of here. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. WUSB now presents Brain Damage.
I've been mad for fucking years, absolutely years. I've been over the edge for yonks. It's working with bands so long, I think, crazy.
Why you are mad, even if you're not mad.
And that was not Pink Floyd. No, no, no. It was a band called the Screaming Abdabs. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. That's a record that, for some unknown reason, isn't allowed to say Pink Floyd on it, but it seemed pretty obvious to me who that was. And we heard the first part of the Dark Side of the Moon record. But it's not called Dark Side of the Moon here. It's called Brain Damage, which is appropriate enough. We heard Speak to Me, Breathe, On the Run, Time, and The Great Gig in the Sky. And if you were really attentive and really intelligent, you would have heard the beginnings of the next song, which is on the other side, a song called Money. But maybe we'll get to that next week. Well, good evening. Eric Orley here. The program is Brain Damage, a good Saturday evening kind of thing. And that went a bit longer than I thought it was going to. We've got Moscow Mailbag waiting patiently. You know, those Soviets are very patient sometimes. And we want to get to that. We want to get to your phone calls, other special things we've got planned, and some special things we don't have planned. But right now, Moscow Mailbag with special guest appearance by George Martin.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And here's Joe Adamoff, after a year's time out, to again answer your questions. Welcome back, Joe.
Thank you, Mark.
What made you stay away for all this time?
You see, I've been answering questions for 32 long years and felt that I should have a bit of a rest. But you know, the lure of the microphone, the lure of the mailbag, acted like an irresistible magnet, and I felt I had to come back and continue.
Okay, well, welcome back, and straight down to business now. G.K. Friesen of Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo, Ontario, is writing in about Repin's famous painting, the Zaporozhye Cossacks, writing a reply to the Turkish Sultan. It's based on a historic episode. What was the text of that letter the Cossacks wrote?
You see, the picture shows those freedom-loving people, the Cossacks, who are excellent horsemen, incidentally, standing around the scribe and laughing their heads off. It really is hilarious laughter. The Turkish Sultan, who was at war with them and with Russia, demanded that they surrender. The answer to the Turkish Sultan was, "You can kiss our, you know, the lower part of our anatomy." So the Cossacks, you see, were a very privileged military class, freed from serfdom and given land and pay by the Tsarist government to defend the outposts of Russia. Incidentally, it was a very strange thing. The Cossacks had to provide their own equipment, their own uniform, their own horse, sword, and arms. And they showed themselves very well in the Napoleonic Wars, in the Russo-Turkish War, and yes, in World War II. We had a song, I remember, at the end of the war, sung by Utyosov, one of our famous Soviet jazz men. The words went, "Yedut, yedut, po Berlinu naši kazaki." Our Cossacks are riding down the streets of Berlin. Well, incidentally, I'll conclude by saying that they're also excellent singers and dancers.
Well, here's another letter from Peter Fowler of Pointe-Claire, Quebec, Canada. He writes, "We find President and Madame Gorbachev a most amiable president and first lady, a feeling not totally shared by the people of the Soviet Union, by all accounts. But I'm sure your president's policy will bear fruit at home, too, in the not-too-distant future."
Well, we all hope that his policy of reform, his policy of perestroika, will succeed, because, you see, there's no going back to the past, but it'll be an uphill struggle, and I'm sure it will. We have to go over to a controlled market economy. We have to give the land to the farmers, give them an incentive to work and to make our farmers the owners of what they produce. Many of our enterprises must be handed over to those who work in them. The ownership will take the forms of, say, stock companies, cooperatives, and yes, private enterprises. In other words, we must break the grip of the government on the economy. We must make the people interested in producing more and better products. Our government must be based on law. It must be a law-abiding government. We must overcome that great pyramid of bureaucracy which faces us. We must make our country a truly free union of sovereign republics. I've only mentioned a few of the things that are facing us. So, let's keep our fingers crossed.
I've got another letter here from Harrison Ross, Upper Locker, I think that's pronounced, Florida, USA. And he asks, is it true Muscovites are like New Yorkers, rude, unpleasant, no manners, etc.?
Well, Mark, you've been here several times. How do you find them?
Well, on the whole, I find them rather friendly people, but it's quite true. There are those types on the streets in the metro. They can be found.
A little correction. Yes, they are friendly to foreigners. You're one of them. But among themselves, I'm afraid they are rude, sometimes very gruff, because don't forget they're faced with no end of shortages, no end of difficulties, and they're faced with shortages galore. You have to stand an hour or more in line to fill up at a gas station. Nowadays, there's a shortage of cigarettes, which led to riots. But the foreigners, as I've said, they are smiling, considerate, friendly. You know, there's a Russian saying, what's on a drunk man's brain is on a drunk man's tongue. I remember during the height of the Cold War, several Soviet Navy officers came out of a restaurant in downtown Moscow and met some United States officers in uniform. Mm-hmm. And I thought, aha, here's where the fun's going to begin. They stopped them and started telling the American officers that they were allies during World War II, and they still regard the American officers as allies. And one Soviet Navy officer pulled out his dagger, put his lips to it, and made the Americans kiss it too as an oath that they will never raise arms against each other. Then there was much bear hugging, and they went their way. This, mind you, was at the height of the Cold War.
And a letter here from Frank Rodeo, Hamilton, New Jersey. He wants to know who the new mayor of Moscow is.
He is Gavriil, which is the Russian for Gabriel, Popov. He's 54, ethnically a Greek like your Dukakis. He's a doctor of economic sciences, an editor of the magazine Problems of Economy, a member of our parliament, and belongs to what I would call the left wing of our deputies in parliament. Like the mayor of Leningrad, he resigned from the Communist Party. He appears weekly on our television and always seems to hold his head down, and he speaks very softly. He goes on television usually in a shirt and sweater and no tie. And once he was asked, why doesn't he ever wear a tie? He says, I'll start wearing a tie if that helps perestroika. I'll sum up by saying that he's a smart man, there's no denying that, and Margaret Thatcher had very high praise for him.
What are the functions of Soviet city councils, Frank writes?
That's a very tough question because they do so many things, especially nowadays. I'll only mention some of the things, say, the Moscow City Council or Soviet is doing. Incidentally, the word Soviet in Russian means council. Well, they're organizing commercial banks, joint stock companies, a labor exchange. They've started or set up direct links with Lithuania. They declared all land of the city the property of the city, not the government and not the party. They recognize conscientious objectors when it comes to army service, something we never did before. They're tackling problems of housing, of transport, and of the many refugees from the ethnic trouble spots in our country, helping to transfer to a market economy. Well, they got no end of problems. But what they have not learned yet is how to listen to an opponent. The ethics of a debate. To me, they sometimes look as if this was a badly organized trade union meeting.
Continuing with Frank Rodeo's letter, he asks, I would like information on your circuses.
You know, Frank, incidentally, Frank is one of our very old listeners, I get a great kick out of our circuses. I enjoy the gymnasts, especially, and the clowns. We have, would you believe it, over 100 circuses in our country, and there are about 5,000 circus actors. One of my best friends is a former circus actor, incidentally. He was a gymnast. They tour many countries of the world, I don't have to tell you that. But, you know, we do not have three-ring circuses like Barnum and Bailey, for instance. I love Oleg Popov. I can never forget his juggling with a fork, a potato, and a pot. And the clown, I forgot his name, who makes a cat stand on its front paws on the palm of his hand.
What are the functions of the Soviet trade unions? And we have a similar question from Blair Bertaccini of Sudbury, Connecticut.
You know, I'll begin with the latest events as far as the trade unions go. We have now a Federation of Independent Trade Unions of Russia. This has just been formed. And our trade union stated firmly that they would be independent of the various government bodies. They would be independent of political parties. Now, mind you, not all the officials voted for this. Some would still like to see our trade unions as docile puppets. Putting it in a nutshell, today our trade unions want to head and lead the working class movement. I don't have to tell you what that stands for. They have to fight for the social rights and many other rights, too, of our working class. But unfortunately, our parliament has, for an indefinite time, put aside the consideration of the law on trade union rights. But take it from me, this law will be passed sooner or later.
John Quintana from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Joe, he asks, how is it you speak English with an American accent? And why didn't you get more airtime on U.S. television?
Well, I see John has seen me on ABC's Nightline some time back. This was a live program, I think it was in May. I was also interviewed in my home by ABC Television in July. If you want me to get more time, airtime on American television, tell them that, not me. That's for them to decide. But British television seems to interview me regularly. Now, where did I get my accent? Well, I picked up my English in England, strange as it may seem, in the late 20s and early 30s. And you see, my dad worked in the Foreign Trade Ministry. Then I attended an American school here in Moscow for American kids with American teachers. So that explains the accent.
Robert Burnell of Burlington, Vermont, writes, the Gorbachev reforms are essentially a matter of internal Soviet policies.
Well, I don't think I'll go along with that, Robert, because a stable economic situation inside the Soviet Union makes for political stability in the country, doesn't it? Otherwise, there may be chaos, if not something worse. The same applies to stable ethnic relations in the Soviet Union. An unstable and chaotic Soviet Union, mind you, does not make for stability in the world, does it? That's why, to a great extent, the West is interested in the success of Gorbachev's perestroika, in the success of his reforms.
Some extreme elements will attempt to dictate to you your internal policies, and they will try to use the economic club to beat you into submission. Lithuania is a case in point.
Well, you are right. The economic club is welded regularly. The most favored nation treatment in trade had been made dependent on our adoption of the law on immigration, and we are going to adopt it very soon. Now, for instance, Jewish emigration was another case in point. Now that the Jewish people are free to leave, the United States has introduced a quota of 50,000 a year. As for Lithuania, well, some politicians in the States do want to use Lithuania. In other words, use it as a bargaining chip.
Personally, I feel that Gorbachev is too willing to make too many one-sided concessions to a man like Bush, continues Robert Burnell.
Well, I think diplomacy, Robert, is the art of compromise. We both must give and take. I do not feel that Mr. Gorbachev is making too many concessions or compromises. Now, how could we force our system on, say, the German Democratic Republic? Our command system didn't work here, it didn't work there. And keeping the old system would only create an explosive situation fraught with very, very much trouble. It would create instability. It would create confrontation. I firmly believe that Mr. Gorbachev is a realistic politician. If East Germany joins NATO, well, and it will, Federal Germany has pledged to cut the United German Armed Forces to 370,000 men, which is half, mind you, half of what Federal Germany has today. They recognize the eastern borders of Germany as permanent. Then we will, for some time, keep our forces in East Germany. Now, all this only makes for a more stable Europe, gives rise to mutual trust, will promote, I'm sure it will, disarmament. And we and Europe only stand to gain from this. I can't call this making concessions. I call it a sane policy. And I don't think I'll be exaggerating very much if I say that Gorbachev will go down in history as the man who defused the Cold War by his policy in Eastern Europe.
Nicholas Peter Adams of Newark, New Jersey asks, does the seat in your Congress held by the late Patriarch Pimen remain vacant, or will a special election be held to fill his place?
You see, Patriarch Pimen was elected by the Soviet Peace Committee and the United Nations Association of our country. These two organizations will in September elect a new deputy to Congress, whom it's hard to say. Well, I think I'll round out today's program by a traditional joke. They tell me Stalin lost his pipe and called the state security chief Beria to investigate. The next day, Beria calls Stalin and says, "We've apprehended three men." "Call it off, call it off," says Stalin. "I found the pipe under my armchair." "It's too late," says Beria. "All three have pleaded guilty."
Joe Adamoff, answering your questions with the occasional joke on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on this show are welcome.
Oh, I miss Joe Adamoff. I'm so glad he's back. That was Moscow Mailbag, and thank you. Thank you very much, George, for stopping in and lending your musical talents. And now, the sound of Moscow Mailbag going backwards at high speed. Yeah, okay. Funny, I don't remember that audience being on the record before, but that's a trip back to the 70s for me. And I guess for anyone else who listened to that record when it first came out, Deep Purple. Yeah, Machine Head is the name of the record. And when did that come out? 1972? No. Is that possible? Yeah, 1972 is what it says on it. That's incredible. Early 70s. Wow. Oh, boy. Deep Purple, yes. Highway Star. And I played that because, I don't know, I've been thinking about driving all day long. I've been thinking about, moving in vehicles, which is something that a lot of people like to do and a lot of people hate to do, A lot of people think it's a cause of frustration, a cause of much heartache and migraines and that kind of thing. But I don't know, I like to look upon it as kind of an adventure, kind of a way of interacting with your fellow humans. What's weird about it, though, is, you're out there driving on the highways, various side streets, and you're not a person anymore, though. You're a car, and all the things around you are not people. They're cars. They're, red Volkswagens and white Corvettes and, green vans and things like that. And that's how you judge them, You don't ever see the faces. Well, you do see the faces sometimes. And, of course, the faces never match what the car looks like. And so you judge a vehicle by the way it looks and not by what's behind the wheel. It's incredible, the psychoanalysis you can do on the driving on the highways. I like to psychoanalyze a lot of the people that drive on the highways. I was on the road today. I went to New York and I came back. A lot of people do that. A lot of people go out for a drive. They go out east. They go out to the North Fork or to Montauk or to Riverhead or something. And then they come back. They just go out for a drive. But nobody goes for a drive into New York and then comes back. You go to New York for a reason. You don't just go there to drive. And I think it's a perfect reason to drive into New York City, just to see how frustrating it is and how everybody's miserable trying to drive through, lanes that aren't meant to hold that many cars. And then you leave and you come back here where you can do 55, 60, or whatever else you feel like doing. And you feel great getting back, You feel you're in the right place. But nobody wants to do that. I guess it's just too much frustration to find out how happy you really are. But anyway, driving into the city today and driving back, which is my source of amusement for this weekend. Incredible the things people do and the way other people react to the things people do, And you see that not so much in the city. You see that mostly on the highways going into the city and going around here, For instance, Nassau County, Southern State Parkway. This guy in a red Lincoln, I believe, pulls out a little too close to the guy behind him in a white Camaro-looking car that wasn't a Camaro, it was something else. I'm no good at this. I don't understand you people that can point the cars and say that's a, 1968 Corvette or, a Bel Air or something. I don't know how you can do that. I really don't. But there's people out there that are able to do that. I mean, I'm lucky I can find my own car sometimes. But this one person pulled out just a little bit too close. And the person behind him went crazy, honking, waving, flailing his arms about, jumping up and down. And this was just as the sun set, so he turned his brights on and turned his brights off and turned his brights on again and turned his brights off and kept on this little picture show for everybody. And, you could just imagine what was going on in the car in the front. Was the person really sorry for what he had done? Did he realize that he had made a mistake by cutting somebody off? Not even cutting them off that blatantly, just, getting a little bit too close when he pulled out in front of him. Or was he getting really, really angry? And was he wondering where he left the gun? Was it in the trunk or was it in the glove compartment? And I was wondering, being behind these two people, just how good is his aim going to be? So all this little theatrical role-playing is going on there on the highway. And it went on for a good long time, like a good 8 or 10 minutes. This person was flashing his lights on and driving real close and getting really angry. And you realize people take this so seriously, I mean, somebody walks in front of you in the fresh fruit section of the supermarket, gets a little too close. Do you follow them around the whole store glaring at them? and throwing tomatoes at them and things like that? I mean, something happens when you're in a car. I don't know what it is, but something strange happens to people. It has something to do with being, you know, behind that glass and enclosed in that vehicle. You know, it's got something to do with that. That protection makes you react all the more strongly whenever somebody allegedly violates your space. And I violated some space in my time. Not intentionally, but sometimes, you know, people get on your nerves, like they're in a car behind you and they've got their brights on and they obviously want you to go faster, but you're going just about as fast as you want to go and you don't think you should go any faster just because somebody is telling you to. And if the person wants to pass you, go right ahead, but it's no passing zone, so he's really out of luck, isn't he? Well, the reaction to that is to slow down, you know? You slow down a little bit. And that's sort of a message to the person behind you to back off. But sometimes the person doesn't back off. Sometimes the person gets even closer. Sometimes the person starts flashing his bright. Sometimes the person honks his horn. And I've had my share of those kind of people. Sometimes they even pull alongside you and question your intelligence in not very polite ways. But then you got the cretins who are in front of you, who are counting blades of grass or something, and whose reaction to every change in scenery is to hit the brake. Then you're in the same position that the person in back of you was in, where you want desperately to get past this moron, but there's no way to do it. I'd like to know how frustrated people have really gotten driving around. You know, I'd love driving around. I mean, I spent all of July and August driving around California and Mexico in a rented car, which added to the joy of it. And it's, you know, it's a lot of fun to be part of the language of the highways, you know. You got these huge trucks, you got these little cars, you got all kinds of things going on. All kinds of people just out there doing their thing, going where they want to go. And there's a sort of harmony to it all, you know? And that's what I like about it, because it's a harmony, it's a moving harmony, it's a changing cast of characters all the time, and once you feel comfortable in that world, there's nothing you can't do, there's no way you can't go. So that's how I feel about it, you know? Now, I've been saying for weeks now that I was going to give Mike over in Milwaukee a call, and I figured since we're talking about cars and things like that, I know he just done a lot of driving his time, let's give him a buzz here on the phone and see if he's got any Milwaukee stories for us. And we'll be taking your phone calls too, 632-6901. We have a line to Milwaukee here. There's the telephone ringing right there. Yes, is that the voice of Mike Juhas?
Eric, how are you tonight?
Okay, you're on the radio here, WUSB, Stony Brook.
I know where that is.
Yeah, I used to do a show here quite often, but not so often anymore now that you're out in Milwaukee.
No, actually, you know, the only thing I do nowadays, it seems, is give the Milwaukee area weather forecast on Jim Dexter's program Tuesday mornings.
Yeah, what time can people hear that?
Let's see, probably close to just before 8 o'clock. O'clock in the morning, I guess, is when I usually end up showing up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a nice toll-free way to hear the weather in Milwaukee, folks, without incurring any long-distance charges or anything like that.
Yeah, of course, that's only Tuesday mornings, though, and I'm never very accurate anyway.
Well, once you know the weather on Tuesday morning in Milwaukee, I don't know, does it change much?
Well, actually, you know, Jim always seems to think that I provide a very valuable service because I'm giving you a precursor of what's your weather supposed to be the next day or two.
Well, yeah, because the weather moves from the west to the east.
Most,
but it's also good for the businessman, for the traveler, the person who's going out in that direction.
On Tuesdays.
It's one of the many public services that we perform here in WUSB.
Yeah. So give
another
us your money.
Is to, you know, give a laugh now and then.
Yes.
And, you know, just generally get people in a cheerful mood. That's what we're here for. All right, enough of that. So,
cheerful mood now, Eric?
I'm in a cheerful mood. I just was talking about one of my passions in life, which is driving a car.
Yeah, how is your little foreign car running nowadays?
I noticed you said that with kind of a snide note in your voice. Mike, let me assure you that my foreign car works just as well as any American car. It was a whole lot cheaper, too, and gets better gas mileage.
Okay.
Of course, it'll fold up like tinfoil in an accident, but that's just more reason to keep me alert.
Yes.
But it's doing fine, and I'm doing fine. I realize, you know, as I'm talking about this, that, you know, I must be some kind of insane nut because I do more driving probably than anybody I know. I put 5,000 miles on this car in California, this rent-a-car, right? And
was that an unlimited mileage deal?
It was an unlimited mileage deal, which I'm sure is going to be changed as soon as they get a load of 5,000 miles in 1 month.
You had a whole month?
Yeah, well, 4 weeks.
Well, 5,000, that's not bad.
That's not bad?
No.
You don't think they'll get mad?
No.
Okay, that's good, because I didn't want to, you know, be responsible for them revoking the deal.
If you were to put, say, 500 miles on it a day, why?
That's more driving than I care to do, to be honest.
Right.
That's going across the country a couple of times and back.
Right. That you could do that, yeah.
I could. I don't know why anybody would want to. You know, that's a bit much. I mean, you know, you're going about 300 or 400 miles a day. That's not a big deal.
No.
You know, I've driven from Buffalo to New York, pretty much straight.
Hey, you know why I don't like coming out east anymore?
Why is that?
Because your speed limit's only 55.
Oh, come on.
Well, it is.
Well, I know it's only 55, but that's not going to... I mean, you can get places at 55, and when the speed limit is 55, everybody does 65 anyway, so, you know, that's a lame excuse, Mike.
Yeah, well...
I mean, you can't do much faster than 65 on the LIE anyway, because there's all these cars around.
I got a speeding ticket on... Well, no, not necessarily Long Island. I mean, Long Island's nothing but a big suburb anyway. The speed limit of the Long Island Expressway should more likely be 30 to reflect actual conditions.
Well, most likely it is most of the time.
Yes. But what I'm saying here, Eric, is, like in New Jersey, for instance, on Interstate 78, or, for instance, the New Jersey Turnpike. Now, those are two prime roads where the speed limit, in places, not everywhere, I grant you, but in places, should be 65 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Just like it is, should be on...
But when you say 65 miles an hour, you're really saying 75 miles an hour, are you not?
No, I'm not.
You're not? Well, then, I mean, the law of the road is, if the speed limit is 55, you do 65. Everybody does that.
Yes.
Has anybody ever gotten a ticket for doing 65 miles an hour in a 55 zone?
Yes, probably.
Well, I feel sorry for that person, but...
Actually, you know, this is an interesting point. I had gotten a ticket in Pennsylvania, and I did a little research into the legal code, and... In Pennsylvania, unless you had committed some other offense, they were not allowed legally to give you a ticket unless you were going more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Wow, it's actually written down somewhere. I always thought it was an unwritten rule.
No, in Pennsylvania, at least, it was written.
Well, that's something. There you go. So you see, if they raise the speed limit to 65, they're in effect saying that you can go 75, which is pretty fast. You know, there's a lot of people I wouldn't want to see doing 75.
Well, you know, 65, legally, is a nice, comfortable speed.
Well, and on a straightaway, yeah, but not, you know, not on local streets.
No, no, no. But on an interstate, you know, limited access highway, 65 is very proper.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that.
Although, I tell you, I was on one of those back roads, back country highway, U.S. highway, just a day or two before Labor Day this year, and I got myself a nice speeding ticket.
Oh, did you?
Yes, in Ohio, going to visit my kid brother.
Uh-huh.
Actually, the cop was very nice. She had quite a sense of humor.
She...
But she still gave me the ticket.
Uh-huh. Well, that's, as long as she did it with a smile, I guess you can't ask for much better than that, can you?
I suppose not.
We were talking about people that do stupid things on the road, you know, cut people off, drive too slow, drive too fast.
You know, I almost ran into somebody today.
I take it it's not a friend.
No.
You know, you almost ran into a stranger.
Right. Well, you've been to my apartment before here in Wisconsin, right?
Yes, very nice, very well kept.
Well, you know, I have this underground parking garage, and I was on my way in it.
Is it underground?
Well, it's under the building.
It's under the building? Yeah, I don't think it's underground, though.
Okay, it's under building
parking. Because you walk into the garage, and the garage door opens, and then you're in the garage, and then you go upstairs, and you're in the apartment.
Eric, are we going to start splitting hairs here now?
No, but I just want to make sure that a clear picture is painted here.
Okay.
Because this might come up later. Okay, continue.
Okay, well, anyway, so I've got this... under building parking garage. There, are you happy now?
Well, why don't you just say you have a parking garage instead of trying to define it somewhere?
Okay, I have this parking garage. No further elaboration is desired. So I'm on my way into it.
It's a big parking garage, too, I might add.
Yes, it covers the entire underneath my building.
What holds the building up? Well, okay, well, never mind that. Let's continue.
So, I mean, since we're building up this story, I think it'd be interesting, but it's not. So, you know, I'm driving down the driveway, and there was this car. The driver had let the passenger out. And the passenger, I could see, waving to the driver goodbye. and it was going to, like, make a U-turn right directly in front of me, so... It could have been slaughter, I tell you.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of instances, you know, where you see something that could happen. You see somebody is about to do something, and that's half of it is being able to predict what some moron is about to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of accidents could be prevented if someone actually said, well...
You know that you have the upper hand, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to know that, you know, and not say so much, well, this person is, you know, this person could try doing this, but they're wrong if they do, so I'm going to just keep going as if they're not going to do that. A lot of people think like that, but then they get into an accident, and, yeah, they get to say, oh, it was your fault, but that's not much fun either, is it?
Well, you know, it's a lot of spite, I mean, you know.
Well, there's generally a lot of spite involved in an accident, you know.
Actually, out here in Wisconsin, drivers are relatively friendly.
Even when they plow into each other?
Well, you know, that I've never been in that kind of experience out here, so I couldn't really tell you about that. Actually, I've never been plowed into anywhere.
Wait a minute, Mike. I was in a car with you when you were plowed into.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot about that, didn't you?
Well, I was parked at the
You were parked, that's true. Yeah, so it can't really be your fault, but you were plowed into pretty good there by, what was it, a pickup truck?
Yeah, you know, I have forgotten all about that. That's great. Yes,
a pickup truck going backwards out of a driveway. I believe we were watching a train, which fortunately wasn't coming at the moment.
Right, no, it wasn't. No, hey, you'll never guess what I'm doing right now.
You're cleaning your oven.
No, I'm not.
What are you doing?
I'm in my kitchen, which at night doubles as a dark room.
Really? So you're developing film even as we speak?
I am making photographic prints of steam engines.
Well, that's something. That is something. You take some pretty good pictures of trains, you know.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you certainly do. Mike's pictures have been published in Trains Magazine. It's been published in calendars that hang on people's walls. In fact, the calendar you gave me from Trains Magazine right now has a picture, which I think you remember what it was.
I do.
We went out to Philadelphia
one
day.
That trip that you and I were even on.
Yeah, we went on this trip to see this old train, and at one point everybody got off the old train, and a trolley passed on the overhead rail, and all these hundreds of people took pictures of this as if it was the greatest thing since the coming of Christ. And you know, there's a picture of this thing now on my calendar in my wall, on my wall.
Yeah, that's funny how these things work out, isn't it?
It sure is. But I took a picture of all the people taking pictures, and I think that was more interesting.
Sometimes that can be.
In this particular case, it was, because I've never seen so many fanatical people all trying to clamor and get the best shot and getting everybody else out of the way and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I didn't have to drive on the highways with those people.
Yes, rail fans, as they call themselves, I guess I am one, too, can be a little bit fanatic.
Yes, they can. As can any person really into something, I guess.
No, actually, right now what I'm doing is I'm printing up these photographs of some black and white night shots I had taken in St. Louis back in June of all times. I hadn't, since I moved out to Wisconsin, I hadn't taken my darkroom and set it up at all since I've been here, and then I just recently got this roll of film back, well, just yesterday, and I was kind of impressed by what the negatives looked like, so I figured I'd make some prints. And right now I'm doing some 11 by 14s.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
11 by 14s, you can stick those in a Xerox machine, eh?
Yeah, maybe I'll fax one to you.
That'd be nice, yes, do that. Mike, the producer is waving at me now. It's time to put the tripods on.
Oh, Eric, before you do that, did you get my fax of my face the other day?
Yes. I don't know how you got your face to do that, but yes, I did get that fax. But Mike, I do want to come back to you. So, is it okay to put you on hold?
Oh yeah.
For just a brief moment, and we have this week's episode of the Tripods. I'll be taking some more phone calls. Well, some phone calls from people. We haven't taken a single call yet. Can you believe that? We'll be doing other things as well, if we have time. Boy, time goes fast here, you know? Anyway, we're at the point in the Tripod saga, and Mike, you might be interested in this, where I believe Howard has met up with Mr. Greenbaum, in the streets of Huntington.
Was Mr. Greenbaum the farm stand guy?
He was the, yeah, he was the fruit and vegetable salesman, and he has met up with Mr. Greenbaum. Mr. Greenbaum has convinced him that taking a job with him on the streets of Huntington will lead him to find his lost wife, Kathy, who, of course, moved out of Howard's house when it was apparent that Howard had run off with the French actress Brigitte Leroux, as he was starring in a major motion picture on Whitney Island. But in fact, he got lost at sea and wound up in Cape May, New Jersey, thinking he was on a desert island, and had no idea that Uncle Jonathan was saying those nasty things about him. So now, even as the drama of all that falls over us, let us return to the world of the tripods, and we'll be back here talking about other things and taking phone calls. Mike, do you want to introduce this at all?
Oh, here come the tripods.
Very good. Radio Free Long Island, in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle for peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Howard last, he was still looking for Kathy in the streets of Huntington. Now, in hopes of finding her, he has just started working for Carl Greenbaum, a street fruit and vegetable salesman. And as we look in on him, we hear...
How would you like me to arrange these apricots, Mr. Greenbaum?
Oh, they're color-coded, Mr. Tripod. You see, the green ones go first, and the red ones, and then finally the purple ones.
Oh, now I see.
Oh, yeah, it's just the same thing with the oranges over there.
I must say, you have everything organized very nicely here, Mr. Greenbaum. I never dreamed there could be so much to fruits and vegetables.
Oh, well, it's nothing really.
And I do appreciate you letting me work here so I can find my wife. Now, that was very thoughtful and considerate.
Hey, look, I needed the help, and you needed your wife. Hey, what could be more fair?
Yes, I suppose, but it's just not all that often that you find people who are willing to help out a little.
Yeah, yes, I know.
Especially these days, but then again...
Yeah, but oh, be careful with those prunes. You don't want to mix them up, you know.
Aren't they all the same?
Oh, boy, you do have a lot to learn, don't you? For instance, now take that prune over there.
This one?
Yeah. Now count the number of wrinkles that it has in it.
The number of wrinkles?
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, count.
Well, I see
count
seven.
Count them, yeah. Seven, fine. Now try this one here.
Nine.
Good. And now this one over here.
14.
Yeah. Now, I don't ever hear you say that all prunes are the same again.
Yes, you're right, but do people actually buy prunes by the number of wrinkles they have?
My dear Mr. Tripod, people buy prunes for all types of different reasons. Color, size, age, weight, and yes, number of wrinkles.
How about that?
Now, what I want you to do is separate every fruit and vegetable here into every category you can think of. Big, small, blue, red, speckled, wrinkled, whatever you can think of, whatever you could find. You think you can do that?
Well, yes, but...
Oh, good, very good. I'm going to go downtown to get a haircut. Now, when I get back, I'll have something else for you to do. So make sure you finish this, okay?
Don't worry, I will, somehow, I guess.
I'll be back shortly, Mr. Tripod.
Goodbye, Mr. Greenbaum. Have a nice haircut. Oh, boy, this is unbelievable. Well, I better get right to work or I'll never finish this by the time he gets back. Now, let's see. These apples are green, but those ones over there are greener. And these ones have a touch of yellow. But the red ones are bigger, so they should go over here. Okay, I think I'm starting to get the hang of it. Now, these avocados look pretty simple. Gee, I sure hope I see Kathy soon. That's the only reason I'm doing this. Certainly is a busy intersection. So many people. Mr. Greenbaum sure was right. Everyone on the island must pass by this spot sooner or later. And if I keep looking, I'm bound to see Kathy. I better get back to work. I don't even know what kind of fruit this is. It looks like a cactus. Oh, well, I'll put it over here. Hey, look at that. A banana peel. All spread out on the ground. It's just like in the movies. Somebody's going to come along and step on it and go flying into the sky. No, I guess it's not really all that funny. It's just the way they do it when they're performing on stage. In real life, somebody could probably get killed doing something like that. Yeah, I better just go over and pick it up before somebody trips over it. Let's see. That's funny. I thought it was right up here.
Whoa! Needs a tripod. Needs a tripod. Are you all right? My lord, I heard you fall all the way down the block. And look at this. Fruits and vegetables all over the sidewalk.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, Mr. Tripod. Mr. Tripod, can you hear me?
Mr. Tripod? Who's Mr. Tripod?
Why, you're Mr. Tripod.
I am not. My name's John Dickinson. I'm from Syracuse. Is this somebody's idea of a joke?
And so, as Howard continues his search for Kathy, he becomes involved in an accident and appears to have developed a case of amnesia. What will become of it? Will he ever find Kathy? And who is John Dickinson? You want to be with us next time when we hear Howard say, "Why is it I get the feeling that you folks don't believe me?" That's next time on The Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka. Run DMC radio station here on WUSB Stony Brook. Eric Corley here. Mike Uhas in Milwaukee. Are you still there?
Yeah, sure.
How you doing? Was that an exciting episode of the Tripods or what?
One of the best.
Oh, it just keeps getting more convoluted the more we listen. Now, a case of amnesia on top of everything else. I mean,
you know,
how much
like
can one family endure? I'm sorry?
A case of amnesia sounds like a good title for a song.
Yeah. Sure, definitely.
Yep.
I don't know what kind of song it would be, but that poor family is enduring so much. And to think they're right here in the local Three Village area, you know. And oh, boy, it's heart-rendering.
Heart-rendering?
Or whatever that word is, yeah. So, Mike, we were talking about cars and automobiles and things like that before we took the break.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, you put 5,000 miles on a car you had in California.
Yeah.
And yet you didn't come to Wisconsin to visit me.
Well, you know, I was in California. And plus, I did come to Wisconsin to visit you in the winter.
Well.
And I drove my own car out there.
Uh-huh.
And I went by way of Canada, in fact, which most people don't do in the winter, but I did anyway.
Well, that proves that you're a hearty soul.
Yeah, you know, it's fun driving through Mexico, too, in foreign countries. You know, I didn't drive at all in Europe, but I'd like to.
Did you get to Mexico when you were in California?
Yes, Baja, California.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of adventures. You know, one adventure we had, I haven't mentioned this one yet. We drove up to the northern part of California, you know, where they cut trees and everything like that. The lumber villages, you know.
Right.
Sort of like Twin Peaks, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And we drove up there to this place called, fortunately I have a world atlas right in front of me. I forgot the name of Fort Bragg, that's it, yes. Not the Fort Bragg where all the army people leave from, the Fort Bragg in California that's known for lumber. And we decided to go up to the mountains, up to the hills, up to the woods, you know, for some change of scenery, you know, because Northern California is supposed to be so much different than the rest of California. And it is, you know, it's very, very green, lots of redwoods. Although, I didn't see, you know, when I hear redwoods, I think of those huge things that they drive cars through.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any of those. I just saw these big trees, and I could have sworn I saw big trees like that, you know, here too. But
in Stony Brook?
Well, Cathedral Pines or something.
Oh yeah.
You know, they look the same to me, to my uneducated eye. So, you know, we drove up there, expecting to see all these huge redwoods. We didn't see those. But we did manage to roll into town on the very day that there was an Earth First demonstration against cutting down redwoods.
Ah.
Yeah. That was interesting. You know, we figured, there'll be a lot of interesting people in town. So we figured we'd sort of wander around and check things out. Now, we made one fatal mistake here.
Uh-oh.
And that fatal mistake was that we didn't realize that at that particular point in time, in that particular village, there were two kinds of people. There were the people that lived there, the lumberjacks. Then there were the outsiders, the Earth Firsters. And we looked a whole hell of a lot more like Earth Firsters than we did like lumberjacks.
So did that get you in a heap of trouble
well,
with the folks
it,
who lived there?
Let's put it this way. We stood out like disemboweled thumbs. Let's put it that way. We stood out because the people that came up there to demonstrate were not foolhardy enough to go into the bars and pubs of the people against whom they were demonstrating. We, however, were.
Ah.
And, yes, we found ourselves in many a sticky situation where people would just sort of walk up to us and tell us to get a job, which is a strange thing to do on a Saturday night at about, you know, 10 o'clock.
You do have a job. In fact, if...
Well, we didn't feel like, you know, going into what jobs we had, we just felt it was sort of, you know, a hostile kind of a thing, and the best way to avoid it is just not to, you know, pursue the point. So all these people obviously were thinking that we were Earth Firsters, which we weren't, although we certainly were more sympathetic to the Earth Firsters than we were to people cutting down redwoods. So we realized at some point, we went to this bowling alley. And really, you know, the Twin Peaks kind of thing is very realistic because you walk into these places and there are these, you know, these antelope heads and everything is made out of wood and the people are kind of weird and you get the feeling there's more going on in this town that you just don't know about. And so we're walking through this town wondering if, in fact, you know, this is going to be it. I mean, you know, you ever get that feeling where you know you've made a mistake and you think maybe it's too late to correct it? You know, like, yeah, saying, you know, yeah to somebody when they say, oh, yeah, to you, and realizing, you know, maybe you shouldn't have said that because there's not much left for the other person to say back, you know,
uh-huh.
Except maybe to express himself in that performance art kind of a way. We were up there in this place wondering if we had made a big mistake by doing that and wondering how we were going to get out of there with our lives. Sitting there in a bowling alley, in a bar in a bowling alley, realizing that we were going to have to do some performances of our own because we were probably going to be confronted again, and the only way for us to survive would be to know why we were on the side of the loggers. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So we had to pretty much think the whole thing through and realize that it's wrong for people to come into a town and tell the people who live there how to live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just wrong.
So what did you tell them?
Well, it didn't take long for somebody to come over to us at the table and say, we've been watching you, and we think you look like some of these outsiders that are coming into our town here. I said, oh, yeah, it's funny you should say that. We were just talking about those outsiders. You know, we think it's really bad of them to come in here and do nasty things like demonstrate in your streets and things like that.
And did they buy it?
Well, I think we put on a pretty good show. I really do. You know, we got into a long talk with this person that came over to us, and we were saying, we're not against you folks. We really weren't against these folks. You know, we weren't against them pursuing their livelihood. But we were also in fear for our lives. And you have to take that into account, you know. If you disagree with an Earth Firster, you're not in fear for your life. If you disagree with a logger, yeah, you kind of are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's face it. And then this guy came in after we talked to this other person. They had left us alone. This guy sort of stumbled in, you know. He was like sort of wearing half a shirt, and he weighed about 600 pounds and had a beard and all that kind of thing. And he said something to us that none of us could understand. And, you know, he said it to me, like right into my face, and he was stinking of beer, and I don't know what he was talking about, and I just said, what? And he said it again, perfectly, you know, exactly the same way he said it the first time. And, you know, we conferred a little bit, you know, had a huddle there at the table trying to understand what this creature was saying. And eventually what it turned out to be was he seemed to be wanting us to give him 2 gallons of gas, because apparently he needed gas, and I guess we looked like the kind of people who had gas, I don't know. But we didn't, and we had to tell him in a polite kind of a way that we didn't have any. But that wasn't really the answer he was looking for, you know, and he sort of looked very disagreeable and kind of sidled outside.
Was he one of the locals?
Yes, he certainly was. And that and the way other people were looking at us as if, sort of doing the Hail Marys and all that kind of thing, made us realize that we've got to get out of there really quickly if we're going to escape with our lives. So we literally ran out of the town because it just didn't have very good karma to it, you know. But that was, thank God we had a car, you know. Thank God we had a way to get out of there. Of course, if we didn't have a car, we wouldn't have gotten in there in the first place. But, you know, no other time do you appreciate the freedom of the open road than when you need it. have you ever needed the freedom of the open road, Mike?
No, I guess I don't think I really ever have.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it is nice to get up early Saturday morning and, you know, just get out and, before the sun comes up, go out for a drive. That's when you're just about going to bed.
Usually, yeah. That's just my lifestyle. But, you know, speaking of the open road, there's something I've been wanting to do. And I think maybe you have the means of doing it for me. Now, I talked about renting a car and going throughout all parts of the country. What I'd like to do, though, is do something a little different, okay? And I was hoping maybe you'd be able to connect me to a car rental agency.
Oh.
Somewhere in the country, using one of those magical toll-free numbers. And what I'd like to do is rent a car over in Europe. And the thing is, I don't want to drop it off in Europe. I want to be able to drive around a bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, explore the various regions of that part of the world.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, wind up someplace else.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time have the benefit of driving around the rest of the world a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I want to find out if that's going to be a very expensive proposition and just what's involved.
So you want me to give them a call?
If you could. You have three-way calling, I assume, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if you could sort of get them on the blower there. And then we'll see if we can get some information. And this can be a public service, too, for anyone else interested in doing this.
Do you have any particular number you want me to dial?
Well, I was hoping you sort of had it burned in ROM in your head.
Actually, I do have one.
Okay, well,
I'm going to unscrew my mouthpiece, so I don't... hold on a second.
Okay. And I hope they can hear us through your unscrewed mouthpiece. I'm sure they can.
Okay, now this is the last you're going to hear from me for a few minutes.
Okay, but then are we going to hear your mouthpiece unscrewing?
No, didn't you already hear it?
Wait, you're talking to us. How could we have heard it?
Well, because okay, hold on.
Sound of Mike Juhasz's mouthpiece being unscrewed. That's incredible, folks. The next sound we hear will be a car rental agency, hopefully somewhere in some part of the world. And let's see exactly what we want to do here. Okay, I've got my my itinerary pretty much mapped out here.
National Car Reservations, Benito.
Yes, hi. I'm interested in renting a car overseas. Would I speak to you about that?
Okay, you will speak to our international desk, and their hours are 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays, and that is Central Time.
Oh, I see. There's no place that's open now, huh?
Nope. Other than that, yeah. Other than that, they're open on Monday through Friday.
Uh-huh.
Yep, so you'd have to give them a call tomorrow between 8 and 4:30 p.m.
Okay.
I can give you their direct to 1-800 number.
I have numbers here.
Okay. But
thanks again.
Thanks for calling National.
Okay. I guess Mike will come back on the line here. Mike, that was a total failure there. We weren't counting on their international section being closed.
Oh, well.
Do you have another one in your...
Oh, actually, that's the only one I remember because it's an really, it spells something.
Does it spell car rent by chance?
Well, yes, in fact.
Because that's the one I had in my head. Okay, then let's pick a company, okay?
Uh-huh.
Let's pick...
Actually, Eric, you know, I'm going to have to get rolling here.
Well, yeah, it's past your bedtime, isn't it?
Oh, actually, I've got prints that I have to wash in the other room, so...
Can you connect us to Hertz?
I don't know. What's their number?
Well, I guess we'll have to call information to find that out, won't we? Sound of Mike Uhas's mouthpiece being unscrewed again, and in a moment you'll hear the cheery voice of an 800 information operator. Should it be Hertz or should it be Avis? I don't know. They're all the same to me.
800 Directory, Gloria.
Yes, hello. I need the telephone number for Hertz Rent-A-Car, please.
The toll-free number is 800-654-3131. Repeat.
No need to repeat.
100-654.
Mike, you still there? Mike? Hello, Mike. Earth to Mike. Are you there? Oh, my God. Have we lost Mike? Oh, I get it. Mike's calling the number for us. I don't have to tell him to call that number. What an intelligent person.
Reservation, Susan?
Yes, hi. I'm interested in renting a car overseas. Who would I speak to about that?
You transfer to International. One moment.
Great. Thank you. That's what I like, a company that has overseas
open. This is First International Test. Diane, may I help you?
Yes, hi. I'm calling sort of on a fact-finding basis here. I'm trying to get information on renting a car overseas.
Okay, our computer system is down at this time. It'll probably be down another 45 minutes.
Oh, that's awful. Do you know what the problem is?
No. No, it's down. They said it'll be down until 11:15 Central Time.
Is this a scheduled maintenance kind of thing?
I have no idea.
Okay, but they're certain it's going to come back up. It's not one of these iffy things.
Well, they say it's supposed to be up at 11:15. You know, I don't know if it's...
Uh-huh.
Maybe you want to try back later on this evening or tomorrow?
I guess that's 11:15 your time because it's 11:33 where I am.
Central time, right.
Okay, fine. So 12:15 my time.
Right.
Okay. So I can call back then or I can call back tomorrow, right?
Right, uh-huh.
Okay, thank you very much for those options.
Bye-bye.
All right. Mike, Mike, are you there? We're not doing too good here, are we?
Hello?
Mike, you're getting impatient. I can tell by the way you're screwing that phone back and forth.
Well?
Okay. Well, you can either stick with us for Avis or we'll do Avis on our own here.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
You know the number?
Of course not. Who do you think I am? Information?
Hey, hold the line.
Do I know the number? Okay, well, we know that these car rental places have international agencies. Some are open, some are down because of computer problems. This, I promise, will be our last attempt. Yes, hello. I need the number for Avis Rent-A-Car, please.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She sounds cheery, doesn't she?
The toll-free number is 800-331-1212.
Oh, they have such nice numbers, don't they? What's our number? 632-6901. That's kind of cool because it's 690.1. That's our frequency. So if the phones start ringing, we'll go to the phone.
Thank you for calling Avis. I'm Bonnie.
Hello. I'm interested in renting a car overseas, and I'm trying to find out information about that.
All right. Now, our international department, they are open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Uh-huh.
And so they are closed for the evening, but they will be open 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And they closed all week?
No. Monday through Friday, they're open 6 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I understand. But they're not... Why is it they're not open now? Because they're international? Is that... Something special?
National, probably because there's just not a lot of demand for the international department on the weekends as there is during the week.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, well, I guess that's going to have to satisfy me then for now.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
all right,
I'll try
back.
Good night. Well, that's just the way it goes, folks. I guess there's nothing else we can say. Mike, come back one more time.
Hello?
Yes, hi there. How are you?
Hi, fine.
Okay, I'm closing the book on this. I was going to ask them, you know, how I could rent a car in Paris or something and drop it off in Outer Mongolia, but I guess that's something I'll just have to wait until I get reassigned to another time when they're open.
Huh.
I was trying to tell
them.
Or
when their computer comes back up.
Yeah. You know, if we had only called when their computer was up, that would have solved everything. But
I wonder, is there not another... You want to try budgeter? No, probably not in Europe. Huh?
Well, you know, we could probably try rent a car in Europe, you know, calling Europe and getting a rent a car.
Well, you can do that after I hang up.
That's true. But that also costs money, you see, and these are all toll free, so I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
But, okay, before you leave us, any last thoughts? Maybe a driving tip or something like that?
Yes. Never go over the speed limit in Ohio.
Well, I'd like to give a driving tip. I like to tell those people that drive straight ahead of you, if you're going to turn right, get in the right lane and turn. Don't stop and you know, come to a full stop and then decide to put on your right turn signal and make a right turn then, because it really gets people upset behind you, you know, and causes all kinds of ulcers and things like that. You ever had problems with people like that, Mike?
Oh, yeah. You know, they're just not courteous, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like everybody has taken Boston driving lessons or something.
Oh, Boston. I mean, people think New York is bad, but Boston is the worst.
They're the worst.
They're the worst.
Yes, they certainly are.
They've got such a messed up traffic system in the first place.
Yes.
But, I mean,
Eric, let me run along here. I have Prince to watch.
Okay, I'm sorry to keep you on the phone for so long.
Oh, no, it's actually been quite fun.
Well, I just wish we had gotten some answers.
Why don't we do it again sometime when I'm not too busy?
Well, maybe I'll run a tape of this next week. How's that?
Okay, that'd be even better.
All right. thanks for being there.
Oh, sure.
Hello to everybody in Milwaukee.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. I hope you didn't break it.
I hope not, too.
All right.
Goodbye.
Good night, Mike. And that was Mike Juhas in Milwaukee, coming to us live over the telephone lines. This is WUSB Stony Brook. It's 11:37, and I guess if there's anybody still left out there, we'll take some phone calls. 632-6901, area code 516. We're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about automobile driving, but we don't have to stay there. We can talk about the Mideast situation. What is the Mideast situation? Is there a war raging? Is there something going on that I should know about? I mean, it's the news inside, so maybe I'll go and get a copy of that. Are you prepared to go to the Mideast and defend your country? Do you think things are going to be getting much worse over there? Right, okay, those aren't interesting questions. Come up with your own questions. Give us a call, 632-6901, area code 516. It's 11:38, 22 minutes to 11 o'clock. I'm sorry, 22 minutes to 12 o'clock, and Raz will be coming on with Power Surge at that. There's no caller. Can you believe this? There are no callers. Did we put everyone to sleep? What's happening out there? 632-6901. Are the phones working? Yeah, they're working. They're there. I don't know if they're working for incoming calls. 632-6901. Let's hear from our regular listeners out there, if there are any left. Not one person. You know, this is the hazards of doing non-commercial radio. You know, sometimes this happens. Sometimes the entire audience just sort of goes out, you know, to 7-Eleven or something, and you're just sitting there, babbling on like a fool, talking to nobody in particular. Well, fortunately, I can do that. You know, I can talk on for a good long time. There's many people at this station that do nothing but talk to themselves and come up with various interesting things to say. I mean, doesn't matter if no one's out there. No one cares enough to call in at 632-6901. Good, that worked. Good evening.
Well, Eric, I was just listening to you talking about people doing stupid things on the highway.
Where are you calling from?
Huntington, New York.
Okay, go ahead.
One time I was driving on the road with my dad, and we saw these two guys, and they had these little compact cars, pretty small ones.
Okay.
It was like the worst for going down the highway, weaving through traffic and stuff.
Right.
These guys were like going, weaving through traffic and hitting each other.
Were these Yugos by chance?
Like traffic jam bumper cars.
These might have been Yugos, because I know they're good for that kind of thing.
Yeah, they might have been,
Well, they didn't hit anybody else, did they?
No, they just hit themselves.
Well, you know, I guess that's okay if that's your way of expressing yourself. That couldn't have been the dumbest thing you've ever seen anybody do on the roads, though, could it?
Matthew. Well, another time.
Yeah.
This time I was driving into the city and I saw this bus and they spit on this car, this other car that was going down the road.
The bus spit on a car?
Well, the people in the bus spit on the car.
Uh-huh.
Not the bus itself spit out of the engine onto the car.
I was wondering if it was the bus driver or the passengers. Okay, so various passengers.
Well, the car got really pissed, and he, took a 2x4 out the window and started hitting the bus. Started cracking up, but I guess it wasn't too funny to the people on the bus.
Oh, well, did they stop spitting?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, there you go, then. The point was made. You know, that's what's important here. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
You're welcome, Eric.
It's a warning to those of you who are thinking of spitting out bus windows. And I know there's a lot of you out there. Good evening.
Hello, Negro.
Uh-huh. Good evening.
Yes, Eric.
Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? Any special topics tonight?
Are you listening to the radio?
No, I've been on the phone for about a minute.
Uh-huh. You've been on the phone for about a minute?
Yeah, you didn't pick up.
Well, aren't you listening to your radio?
My radio's in the other room.
Well, no, okay, wait. It's not that I'm picking on you or anything. I'm just trying to understand this. You went to your phone and you dialed 632-6901.
That's right.
But you weren't listening to the radio. So how did you know to dial 632-6901?
You said a few minutes ago, no one's there.
Well, that's true. Is that when you turned on your radio, though? To hear me pathetically begging for calls?
Well, I was just listening, calling Avis and Hertz. And...
Oh, you did hear that then. Then you know sort of what the topic is. The topic is driving and,
okay, I have something,
exploring.
Something similar to that.
Okay.
Have you been driving on the Cross Island Expressway? Bronx?
I try to avoid those roads.
Did you see the new emergency phones they have on the side of the road?
Cellular by chance?
They just have the yellow box.
I've heard about these, but tell me about them.
Don't they have solar panels on the poles to hold them up?
I think they do. They're completely self-contained.
Yeah, because I was right by coming back from college... Thursday, and I see a solar panel and an antenna, and I was just kind of wondering,
that's pretty much
conservative here.
It's being transmitted over the airwaves, and it's being powered by the sun.
Oh, by the sun.
So there's absolutely nothing that can stop the call from going through other than vandalism.
Oh, I hate vandalism.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to get plenty of that, but there's...
I talk to my mother, I talk to my friends, and I think I'm nuts.
Well, why would they think you're nuts, unless there's something else I don't know about?
Look, here they are. Here are these new marvels of technology right the side of the road.
Uh-huh.
Your convenience, and they,
Have you ever tried to use one?
No.
Then you don't really know if they work, do you?
No, because when I was coming home, it was overcast.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't want to try one then if I needed assistance.
Uh-huh. But they're only on the Cross Island, and...
They're on the Cross Island, I think they're on the Meadowbrook. I think they're also on the Northern State going more into,
I haven't seen them. I usually look for things like that.
When you get off the Sorogenic Bridge, you should start to see them when you get on the expressway, or if you go into, Queens Village around that area.
Well, I'll have to look for those kind of things.
Well, they're on the side of the road. They have a yellow box, and they have a solar panel and an antenna. So I was wondering if anyone would know, because everyone thinks I'm nuts.
Well, maybe they think you're nuts for a different reason, but...
I always look on the side of the road when I'm in a car or on a bus or whatever, so...
Not when you're driving, I hope.
No.
Okay. Always keep your eyes straight ahead of you whenever you're driving in a car.
And one thing I can't stand, as you mentioned before...
Yeah.
when people behind you want to go faster than speed limit and you are doing the speed limit and they honk at you and they turn their lights on?
Well, sometimes you're doing above the speed limit, you know, like you're doing 40 and a 30, but they want to do 70.
Yeah, I was in the 45-mile-an-hour zone in St. James.
Yeah.
And this road was curvy, quite dangerous if you go over 45, and it seems everybody wants to do 60, 70.
Oh, it's a test of your manhood.
Only two lanes.
And
two
lanes with curves and double yellow lines and hills and all that kind of thing.
And
right?
I had to pull off to the side of the road to let about 10 cars pass because I guess they know the road better than I do.
If you know the road, yeah, but there's always people that don't know the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
I just pulled off for my own safety. That's
good idea there. Rather than get into a battle of wills, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that really take it seriously. Like I was mentioning before, they, you know, they will seek you out to the four corners of the world to convince you that you were wrong in what you did. And so they're quite emphatic about that, you know.
Just waiting for someone to start bumping my bumper, you know.
That happened to me once in New York City with a taxi cab. They just sort of come up to you and they go, you know, boomf.
Boom.
And not very hard or anything like that, but still, it's, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking to have somebody do that to you. You know, especially when you're sitting at a red light and they boomf you just as the light turns green, as if you're supposed to somehow subconsciously know the light's going to turn green and be moving before it actually does it.
Or they see when the light turns yellow on the other lane, then they start honking, move, move, move.
Yeah, that's something else. They do that in L.A. too, you know. L.A. has got the worst drivers. I don't know if I've said this before, but Los Angeles, everybody just does not know how to drive. They veer out across two lanes, and they slow down right in front of you, and they do all kinds of nasty things.
Heat stroke.
It must be. I don't know. I think they're just not used to being in cars.
Yeah, well, they love cars, though. Yeah.
At least New Yorkers get where they're going, you know. They'll
do it anyway to get where they're going.
They'll drive on sidewalks, you know, through backyards, but they'll get where they're going.
Okay, one more question before I go.
Yeah.
At the end of your show, you usually play that Roger Waters song.
I haven't played it in a while, actually.
Is that from Music from the Body?
Yes, it is.
Where can I get it?
Well, I got my copy in Amsterdam. where can you get it? I'm told that record is around if you look in, you know, one of the cool record shops, maybe in the Village or something.
Yeah.
You might actually find it. But I'm told that people have seen that record. In fact, I think it's on CD now, too.
Hmm.
And there's a bunch of good songs on there.
I'm looking for it. Because you played it one night, and I'm just dying to hear the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Well, next week, of course, we'll be playing the other side of the Brain Damage record. And we heard the first side this week, so next week at 10
o'clock. Okay.
So, okay, well, keep driving safely, and...
I always do.
All right.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, good night. 632-6901 is our telephone number. We only have about 12 minutes left. The program is Brain Damage. I'm Eric Corley here with you Saturday night, as we're here every Saturday night from about 10 to about 12. And what is that noise? Does anybody else hear that? Oh, is it this thing over here? Oh, okay. I fast-forwarded a tape on this cassette machine here, and I forgot to hit stop when it finished, and it was sort of continuously fast-forwarding. Oh, good thing I figured that out. I was driving myself crazy. 632-6901. Give us a call. I see a couple of calls on the line there, but I want to get more. Let's fill up the lines here, because I know you're out there, and I know you have something to say. And just write this out here. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening.
Yeah, Eric?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to know what happened last week at the end of your show.
The end of my show last week. Hold on, let me try to recreate this moment here. The end of my show last week.
You're off the air.
Oh, yes. Didn't we explain that?
I forgot.
Okay, yeah, that was weird because we were doing a show, and all of a sudden, we couldn't hear anything. And the transmitter was on the air, but we couldn't figure out what was going on. And apparently, one of the, breakers or fuses or something just popped out, either because of a power surge of some sort. Coincidentally enough, 10 minutes before power surge comes on the air, we got a power surge. And that has never happened before at this radio station, so nobody really knew how to handle it. But all we had to do was push a button and we were back. But it was scary, folks. I thought it was the big one.
Because I happened to be talking.
Oh, you were in the... Well, why don't you finish what you were saying, then? That's right. I'm really sorry about that, but sometimes perhaps God himself decided to prevent you from speaking.
Well, Jim Wiener was explaining some stuff, but...
Uh-huh. Well, Jim Wiener was as perplexed as the rest of us, let's put it that way. I've never seen him so confused. But he's not here to defend himself tonight, so I won't say disparaging things about him. So what's on your mind? Anything having to do with driving? Are you a good driver? Have you been victimized by crazy people?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. There must be something that you're hiding.
Well, actually, I don't drive yet.
Oh, you don't drive yet? Well, are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You notice how I don't ask you, are you going to drive? I assume you're going to drive because everybody out here does. You know? It's impossible to get around without a car. Isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you're in agreement there. When are you going to start this magical rite of passage?
As soon as I get some money.
Why do you need money? For a driving lesson? For a car?
Yeah.
Oh, a car. I see. Okay. Silly me. I didn't think of that. So you already know how to drive?
Yeah.
But you don't have a car?
No.
Well, that's...
You could donate me some money.
Well, if anyone has a car out there, I'll just donate it to the USB Listener Fund. But you've taken lessons, I hope?
Huh? Yeah.
You don't sound too certain. You've taken lessons, you've gotten your license, you're a good driver?
Yep.
Okay, I just want to know this before we set you loose on the roads.
Hey, I don't know, I'm not a crazy driver.
You sure?
Yeah.
Not even a little bit?
Well, I don't know yet.
Uh-huh. As soon as you get in that car, we'll find out, won't we?
I mean, I'd like to keep my license a little while.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, this the proportion of crazy people out there is surprisingly high. That's just something that you should know at this point in time. And never take them that seriously. I mean, take them seriously enough to get out of their way and, you know, not get in a pileup with them. But, don't let them... bother you for the rest of your life.
Like
they bother me.
So are you you're a good driver?
I can't comment on that. For obvious reasons, but I think I'm okay. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody disagrees, they're welcome to have equal time here, I suppose. But people that are still in litigation with me, obviously for legal reasons, they can't come on the air. So we'll just have to wait until we settle all those cases.
Okay.
Thanks very much for calling.
You're welcome.
And good luck to you when you get your car.
Thank you.
All right. 632-6901. We've got a few minutes left. Good evening.
Norm Presslin.
Yeah, well, we don't say words like that on the air. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay.
What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say that you don't necessarily need a car to get around on Long Island.
Well, now, the bus system is terrible.
Oh, not buses. I'm talking about hitching.
Oh, hitching is okay.
Hitching is great. I did it all over Europe.
But how does it work in Suffolk County?
It's not so bad.
No?
No, not at all. We hitched from Queens out to Montauk.
Really?
Took us no time, really.
How many rides did you get?
Oh, lots.
Yeah?
A lot of short ones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, people are generally very nice about it, you know. They're not all perverts or anything.
Some of them are?
Oh, yeah, some of them are. Not all of them.
But how about the ones that picked you up along the way from Queens to Montauk?
Oh, they were fine.
They were all fine.
Yeah. A lot of women, too, surprisingly.
Uh-huh.
Women generally don't pick people up.
Uh-huh.
I don't blame them. I wouldn't.
Well, it depends. You know, it depends on how the people you're picking up look, you know. It's interesting you should point this out, because I was driving in California in the desert. This was right near Death Valley. And there's a prison, which is a good place for a prison, I guess. And there's a sign saying, you know, you are entering this the area of this prison. Absolutely no hitchhiking permitted. you could understand why there's no hitchhiking permitted in that particular area.
Yeah.
But it made me think, you know, if my car were to break down now, I am screwed. Because there is absolutely nothing that will make anybody stop near a prison to help somebody with a car. Especially someone who looks like me, so it would have definitely not been. I wonder if that's ever happened to somebody, if their car is broken down near a prison where no one will dare to pick them up.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, so do you think most people are afraid to pick up hitchhikers?
Yeah, I think hitchhikers have a really bad rap here.
Well, I would assume most people are afraid to hitchhike.
Yeah, you know? It's getting rarer, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't see very many people hitchhiking around here.
Well, if you do, and if she has red hair, it's me, so I'm perfectly safe.
Do you hitchhike alone?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah? You never feel endangered by that?
No, because I carry Mace, so...
Uh-huh. You know. Have you ever refused a ride?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I usually will not take rides with cars with power locks.
Wait, is that the first thing you test when you get in?
What?
Did you ask them what kind of lock they have, or can you tell by looking at it?
You can just look at it. You know, you just, like, when you go up to the window and say, where are you going, you look in, and if they're power locks, you say, well, I'm going the other way, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you don't want to get stuck in a car with someone with power locks, and you keep opening the lock, and they keep shutting it or something. You know, I've had it happen to me, so...
Uh-huh. Is there a way to defeat that system, to hold it open, and so that they can't put it down?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you can open it from your side, but they can usually lock it from theirs, so... I don't do that.
There should be a campaign to abolish power locks, because I never liked the idea of power locks.
Oh, I don't like that if the car's off.
Oh, God, no, that's so stupid. And power windows, too, that don't open if the car doesn't work.
It could suffocate a car like yeah. that.
I don't know why they don't think of these things, you know? It's so obvious. Well, thanks for calling. Good luck hitchhiking, and be careful out there.
Bye.
All right, 632-6901. Good evening.
Hey, Eric, it's Jason.
Jason, how you doing?
I drove you down 8th Avenue, and that was dangerous.
You've driven with me down 8th Avenue. Okay, well, if you had done that, I guess, you would be...
That was like, going down 8th Avenue, we were on the right side of the road, we had to get over to 6th Avenue and just, like, cut across.
You have to see, in New York City, there's a certain mentality that takes over when you're driving, you know?
Yeah.
I don't quite know how to describe it, but it's sort of, you know, it's sort of like survival of the fittest, but there's a certain... You do things there you would never think of doing here, you know? And there's also that magical part of town where all the lights seem to turn green in succession if you hit them at just the right speed. And you feel like everything is going just fine, you know?
Yeah, but three lanes of traffic in, like, on a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
We could, like, become part of a taxi cab permanently.
Oh, yeah, you could. And that also adds to the beauty of the end of the trip, you know? You feel so much better. When you arrive where you get, and there's buses, and there's Con Ed trucks, and there's these big craters in the road. The occasional cop and people walking across. It's just incredible, you know. Driving in New York is like unlike any other experience.
Yeah, if you get a chance.
But I'm not ready for Boston.
Not ready for Boston?
No. Boston, the roads are not, you know, it's not like a grid. And they have all these crazy traffic signals, like a green, a yellow, and a red all lit at once. It means something. And they know what it means, but we don't. And, you know, arrows that point down. I saw that once. An arrow that points down. I don't know what that means either. I think it means you're supposed to turn around and not go there.
I don't think it's...
Stay out of Boston. If you value your sanity, stay out of Boston in a car.
If you get a chance to drive in New York, be daring. Boston, take public transportation.
Uh-huh. But hopefully I didn't have a traumatic effect on you,
Well, I
drive down Lexington a lot worse.
About people I drive with. No.
Yeah, I drive down Lexington a lot, but I always insist that people wear seatbelts.
Yeah,
I always insist upon that.
If not you, then if I don't think you're the craziest driver in New York, then the other guy. So.
Uh huh. Well, of course, I won't be driving in New York very much now since my car keeps getting broken into. You know, it's not so much of a problem when I'm moving. Although lately it seems to have become that too. Yeah, there's, you know, maybe I'll just pass through. I was in New York City today, and that was fun. But I'm not going to park there anymore.
Oh, okay, then. I guess I'll see you whenever.
Okay, thanks for calling. And that's going to pretty much do it for us here tonight, 11:58. Program has been brain damage, and stay tuned for Power Surge now. You know, I should have an outro ready. It sounds awfully unprepared not to have an outro ready, so what should I do here? Okay, well, maybe there's something over there I can play. I'll tell you what, I'll go back to Run DMC, since it just happens to be lying here on the turntable, and we'll go out with that, and that will take us magically into the Power Surge, and maybe even Concert Billboard if we're really lucky, although I don't think there is a Concert Billboard. Oh, maybe there is. This might be Concert Billboard here, so if it is, you will hear the magical sounds of Matt, and followed by Power Surge. Eric Corley with you, see you next week. Be good. And drive carefully. And when I say who's out, y'all know what time it is. Who's out? What's wrong?
Rap was grab a river.